So we've been talking about the nervous system's play when it comes to unwanted eating behavior. And we spoke about how when we are self-sabotaging, when we are binge eating, when we're emotional eating, most often it's because we are in what we call protection mode. So this is a part of the nervous system that is run by almost, let's call it the primitive part of the brain or the reptilian part of the brain that drives us to just seek out survival. And so that's why we can't actually get in the way of sometimes these behaviors. As soon as they set in, as soon as we're triggered, we can't stop them. And so maybe some of you have been listening to the conversation, and maybe some of you have also noticed that maybe the trigger isn't there for you. Maybe it's not actually protection mode. And here's what I mean. So we suggested and we shared that protection mode is triggered. And by the way, protection mode is oftentimes also referred to as the sympathetic nervous state. But protection mode is triggered anytime there is a feeling of unsafety in the environment. And so, if we feel uncomfortable in our environment, if we are going through some sort of trauma or some sort of abuse, or we've even experienced that in the past while we're growing up, so sexual abuse or maybe emotional abuse or physical abuse, then we can trigger ourselves into protection mode. And when this happens to us at a very young age, we learn to adapt to this nervous system state. So we operate our entire lives under protection mode, not knowing, because it's just what we've always known. We've always known that we always have to be maybe a little bit more on guard. We have a need for survival, again, on a very, very primitive level. Now, the other thing that we shared as well is that we trigger protection mode when there is food scarcity. And now, food scarcity can either be real or imposed. And real food scarcity is actually the absence of food, the physical absence of food. Growing up in an environment where truly we went to bed hungry many times because there really was nothing to eat. So, this also can trigger protection mode. Now, imposed food scarcity, well, that's what we do, or maybe someone else does when they tell us that we should diet or we should restrict our food. And so, when we've been restricting our food for too long, then we also tend to shift into protection mode. And then we can lock ourselves in this place the longer that we are replaying any past experience, thoughts and emotions that are associated with that past experience. Now, again, you may be hearing all this and saying, I don't know, Sherry, like, I didn't really experience trauma growing up. Maybe I had a very healthy childhood and my environment was very safe. And no, I never really dieted, but I don't know why I'm still emotional eating or binge eating. Well, here's the thing. Our plate and what we put on our plate and the way that we eat is a direct reflection of our perspective on life. So I'm going to repeat that one more time. The way that we eat and what we put on our plate is a direct reflection of our perspective on life. And generally, we have one of two perspectives. We're either in an abundance mindset or a scarcity mindset. So I think I've shared with you the story about my sister-in-law in the past because, first of all, she's awesome. She's a badass. But here's the thing about my sister-in-law. She's never dieted her entire life. And I think I shared this already with you that I walk into her house and inside her cabinets and her cupboards and her fridge, she's got all kinds of snacks, right? These are the types of snacks that generally we tend to avoid if we're dieting or we're trying to restrict. But she's got chocolates and she's got candies. And if you open her freezer, she's got ice cream. And also, she's never struggled with her weight. And the reason why she's never struggled with her weight is because she's never made this off limits. She's never really actually felt that there is a scarcity around food. There's no scarcity when it comes to junk foods or sweets. And so it's not this thing that she's needing or seeking out. She never really built that reward system in the brain, feeling like she's not allowed to have this thing. And then with her thoughts just driven to want it even more. And so when I watch her eat, it's very clear that she operates from an abundance mindset. If she wants to have chocolate, she will. If she doesn't want to have chocolate, it's fine. It's always available. It's not a big deal. It doesn't have to be now or never. It's not black or white thinking when it comes to eating certain things and certain foods that normally we tend to make off limits because we feel shame, we feel guilt, we feel disappointment when we eat these foods. And so if we notice that we tend to finish off our plates, even though we're super full, Or we tend to maybe finish off our kids' plates, even though, let's say we're really full, we ate all our food, but then we feel really bad about wasting food because there's starving children in the world, and maybe there's starving children in Africa, and so we have this need to not throw out any food. And so if we're noticing that, or if we're noticing that, let's say, for example, we want to go ahead and have a dessert because we have fear that maybe someone else might eat it and we won't get a chance to, and we have all these concerns about not getting food or not having food, or maybe even cutting off the time that we're allowed to have that food, well, then we're operating from a scarcity mindset. And when we operate from a scarcity mindset, what this means is that there's a lack. There's a void. There's something that we are missing. And actually, we're trying to use food to fill that void, to fill that lack. Now, Tony Robbins talks about the 6 human needs. And when we're looking at food and when we're talking about a lack or a feeling that there's something missing, a scarcity, a void that we're trying to fulfill, then I want to bring your awareness to the 6 human needs, because this is going to start to expose a lot around what you are using food for. Again, if you're finding that you don't have anything that's triggering you directly into protection mode based on the conversations we've been having the last several weeks, then I want you to just take a consideration around what is it that you're trying to fulfill with food? What could be lacking? Which of the 6 human needs, or maybe one or more of them, are you trying to fulfill through food? So let's quickly review the 6 human needs. Well, first of all, the 6 human needs are not our basic needs for survival, which is food and shelter and then procreation later, but it's actually needs that we notice are present in every single human being on the planet, no matter where they come from. And so the first human need is certainty. We all have a need for certainty. And certainty is this need to feel safe, to feel secure, to feel that you can count on something, that there's stability. And so we all have that need for certainty. And then we also have a need for uncertainty, which is also referred to as variety. So we have a need to change things up. And we might seek out variety when it comes to our relationship, or maybe even to our food or the way that we dress or the way that we operate in life. But it's our need to change things up and to experience different things. And then we have a need for significance. And that doesn't mean that we have a need to make sure that everyone's paying attention to us and telling us really lovely compliments, but we all have a need to feel that we belong, that we are wanted, that we're needed, that people are seeing us, that they're hearing us, that they're welcoming us, and that they're validating our existence. And so we all have that need for significance, to feel like we belong, like we're important. And then we have a need for love and connection. And that's why we tend to want to connect with people. It's why we tend to want to have pets and we want to socialize. And it's also one of the reasons why during COVID, a lot of us were suffering from that lack of connection, because it's, again, one of our human needs. And as we talk about love and connection, we're not necessarily talking about an intimate love or intimate connection. It's really that feeling that you're connecting with someone, you're resonating with someone. And again, you feel that there's somebody there for you, or that you feel that there's love and there's just this beautiful energy that's being shared between two people in a union, for example. And then we have 2 more needs, and we call these more of the spiritual needs, because when we focus on these needs, we actually notice that we feed our souls. And so this is the need for growth and the need for contribution. And the need for growth is just this constant desire to learn, to expand, to explore, to evolve. And so it's also why maybe sometimes when we're in a partnership and you notice one person's growing and maybe the other person's feeling like they're changing, there's oftentimes a mismatch. And so we have this need to continue to grow and expand. And it's also why maybe we get bored in a job when we're doing the same thing over and over again, and we're just not being challenged and we're not just feeling motivated around it. And then finally, we have that need for contribution. And contribution is truly giving without expecting anything in return. It's really giving from the heart without an attachment on an outcome, or without an attachment on someone needing to validate that. So for example, if let's say we are contributing to a non-for-profit organization and we then suddenly blast it on Facebook, well, is that truly a need for contribution? Does that really fulfill the need for contribution? Or does that fulfill the need for significance, right? So just a little something to think about. And so when it comes to these six human needs, and we start to look at how we approach food, our relationship with food, can you now start to see how maybe food can meet some of those needs for us? And it's the reason why that oftentimes we're driven towards food and sometimes don't understand why. So maybe food is that thing we can always count on. So it fulfills the need for certainty. And maybe food can also offer us that need for variety or uncertainty, because again, it can change up the situation. If I'm feeling a certain way, I know that I can count on food to change how I currently feel, to actually change my state. And maybe also food is a way that I have love and connection. So maybe every time I'm on the phone, I tend to eat, or maybe every time I'm missing love, or I'm missing that feeling of connecting with someone, I'll tend to turn towards food because I'm feeling lonely, or maybe I'm feeling bored. And so I want you to think about this and really start to maybe expand a little bit around what the different areas of your life are looking like right now. And maybe even ask yourself, well, what is my perspective on life? Do I actually operate from an abundance mindset? As in, my cup is overfloweth. There's more than I need of everything. There's so many good people in this world. There's so much opportunity in this world. My government is amazing and is doing the best that it can for me. And I still believe in the greatest good. Can you allow yourself to start to notice maybe the perceptions that you have, the belief systems that you have, and begin to challenge them? Asking yourself, is this a scarcity mindset that I'm operating from, or is this an abundance mindset? Remember that scarcity mindset is that there's not enough of things. There's not enough good people. There's just not enough good men out there. There's just not enough jobs. There's just not enough money. There's just not enough. And so if you're noticing that most often your thoughts are there, then likely you're operating from a scarcity mindset. And now let's get into the six human needs. Which of these six human needs, again, maybe one or more, are you trying to fulfill through food? And you'll notice that you're trying to fulfill these human needs through food, and yet it almost again seems like this bottomless pit, that no matter how much you try to fulfill that void, it's just not working. And the reason for that is because that's not actually what the mind and the body and your soul needs. And there's different ways to fulfill these needs. And so if we really want to break away from emotional eating and binge eating, again, creating awareness is that first place to start. Let me become aware of whether or not I'm operating via a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset. And which human needs am I lacking maybe in my life? And maybe when it comes to my job, if that's what constantly triggers my binge eating or my emotional eating, what human needs are missing there? Is it my relationship that constantly triggers my binge eating and emotional eating? Well, what am I maybe lacking there, or what am I missing there? And so now it starts to get very interesting, and we can start to get more curious about that. And so there's so much to expand on here. And again, if we allow ourselves to have grace, if we allow ourselves to just get curious, if we allow ourselves to really start to pinpoint the different areas of our lives that maybe are requiring our attention, and allow ourselves to even explore maybe some of the belief systems that we picked up from childhood, that we picked up from our parents, from our teachers, from our culture, maybe from our religious beliefs and backgrounds. How can that also start to explain and expose the lacks or the void that we're feeling and the need to maybe turn towards food to fulfill that? And so with that, I want to wish you a beautiful rest of your day, and I look forward to catching you again in next week's training. You got this.